Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Caliber Mining, traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB, and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. I'm chatting with the Vice President of Corporate Development, Ryan King. Now Ryan, I want to follow up on a news release that came out at the beginning of this week, May 3rd. It really recaps a lot of what happened in Q1. I'm going to post a link to that news release because the highlight section here is very long for all of the developments that happened in Q1 for the company. But one of the, I guess, news that came out of this news release is also the first quarter financials. So production and costs. We chatted about the production highlights at the tail end of April. Let's look at a quick snapshot here of what the company generated in terms of cash. Gold sales of almost 45,000 ounces generated $82 million in revenue. Average realized gold price of just under $1,800 per ounce. Net income of almost $17 million. Cash generated from operating activities, $25.5 million. Ryan, give us a little bit of an update here then in terms of the financial success that the company saw last quarter.
Well, thanks for having me back on the show, Corey. I mean, I think you actually summed up the results really well. But it's a demonstration of the hard work the team has been doing, you know, to execute on this hub and spoke strategy. And we're starting to see the benefits of unlocking value, debottlenecking, de-orphaning deposits like our recently brought on Pavón Norte deposit, which in the quarter contributed about an average of 350 tons a day of roughly between 3 and 4 gram material to the process plant at Libertad. So, you know, we're starting to bring on higher grade material. And it shows here, you know, we were up significantly on grade Q1 2021 versus Q1 2020. Again, largely because some of these higher grade zones are feeding into the Libertad facility, which resulted in, you know, as you mentioned, over $25 million of cash generated from operating activities. And so as we look at this too, I mean, Caliber is a growth focused company with significant surplus capacity in this mill. And so we're continually reinvesting into this opportunity. Self-funded, right? You know, you saw that we generated that $25.5 million of from operating activities, but we reinvested, I think, a total of almost $20 million in mine development, in exploration. You know, and so part of that was bringing on a new high-grade underground deposit called Panteón. And I think it's really important to note here. So Panteón, located within the Limón complex, and at Panteón, you know, it was discovered in 2020. We've already been developing to it part of the mine development capital, and in Q2 here we're going to start reaping the benefits from this higher grade zone at Panteón. During Q2 we're going to start mining ore there, so reserves and stopes, and that will be contributing to Libertad in Q2, Q3, Q4 moving forward. So we should start to see some higher tons, some higher grade from Panteón, which is within the Limón complex, all bringing that on stream, all within, you know, essentially 12 months of discovery through delineation and development. So hence the reason why we're reinvesting in the opportunity here is we have surplus capacity at our mill. We've demonstrated and executed on the hub and spoke strategy, not only from Limón down to Libertad, but now most recently in Q1 with Pavón Norte down to Libertad. And we are reinvesting into another new district called Eastern Borosi. So in general, Q1, in terms of production, was ahead of budget. You know, so if you were to do the analyst math and go quarter over quarter, you'd be a little over 180,000 ounces for the year. Our guidance is 170 to 180. And we're right in line with our all-in sustaining costs for the year at 1,095. So again, we're generating some great cash from operations, reinvesting in the business. I think we currently have 16 drill rigs operating, and so we're starting to really see these benefits coming to fruition from our hub and spoke, and yet we still have lots of low-cost organic growth potential with the surplus capacity in the mill.
Yeah, this hub and spoke model just continues to grow on itself for the company. Let's dive a little bit more into this Pavón Norte, the high grade ore that came into the mill just last quarter. From my understanding, this area actually came online in terms of feeding that mill a bit earlier than expected. Can you explain what happened here?
Of course. You know, so we'll take a step back for a second. When we acquired these assets, Pavón, that emerging district was, as we viewed it when we initially acquired it, was a smaller high-grade underground deposit. Darren and our technical team took a look at it and actually realized this outcrop. So we redid the resource calculation there. So in January 2020, we came out with, at Pavón Norte and Central, the two main vein systems there at Pavón, came up with 300,000 ounces, majority of which was in the indicated category at 5.1 grams per ton gold. So January 2020, a resource. We quickly started the EIA process because we owned all the land at Pavón Norte. And by July, after finishing all the public consultation and baseline work, we got an approval to construct and operate an open pit mine at Pavón Norte. And, you know, some would say, wow, that was very quick. But again, you know, the importance here is that this is a satellite deposit. So it's an open pit. You don't need a tailings facility there. You know, you don't need a mill facility there. So it's a much less disturbance. And so that's probably why a big portion of why we were able to advance through permitting as quickly as we did there. And then, you know, additionally, we did mine design and construction Q3, Q4. And we were anticipating that we would be Q2 of this year. But fortunately, we had everything ahead of schedule and within budget, so we began mining in January and hauling slowly and in a measured approach. You know, what's really, really important here is ensuring we work very closely with the host communities, ensuring that we have all of the safety measures in place, bringing our community along as we start operating within a new district. So that's very critical. So in the quarter, we were only about 350 tons a day hauled or transported from Pavón Norte to the Libertad facility. The goal is, as we slowly, gradually ramp up, to get to 1,000 tons a day this year of mine, of ore transported from Pavón to Libertad. And we've demonstrated that we can do that by the work we did in 2020 from Limón to Libertad. So, you know, another new spoke. Heads down, working hard on all aspects to ensure efficiencies and creative nature of this ore coming into Libertad, but also a high priority on safety. So, yeah, no, it's worked out quite well. We continue to explore along the district. So we've got two rigs operating at Pavón Norte. We're also starting to work down towards Pavón Central. To advance Pavón Central, we will be finishing buying all the surface rights there, which we're actively doing now, and we've been making very good progress there. And so, yeah, a lot of good things happening with the startup of the new satellite deposit or spoke, part of our hub and spoke at Pavón Norte.
So one quick question there. When you're talking about ramp up from about 300 tons today to upwards of 1,000 tons per day, are you expecting grade to remain relatively high at this higher level?
Yeah, so when we break down the resource at Pavón in its global sense, the Pavón Norte resource average is about 3.4 grams per ton gold. And in fact, we had actually anticipated doing more stripping to begin the open pits, but actually ore came right to surface. So we got right into ore right away. And which obviously put us in a position to have a nice inventory or stockpile at site. And the average grade so far has been 3.4 to 3.5 grams per ton gold. For Pavón Norte, we wouldn't anticipate, based on the modeling work we've done, grade to increase. We're just going to start to see larger, you know, again, if all goes well, we should start to see larger contributions of higher grade material. I mean, if you looked at Libertad mill feed in Q1 of 2020, you'd see the average grade is 2.5 grams per ton gold. But with the unlocking of this hub and spoke approach and being able to mine higher grade materials feed into the mill, I think Q1 we saw 3.17 grams per ton gold and an average of 3.5 grams consolidated across the asset. So we are starting to see that increase as we unlock some of these satellite deposits, which are higher grade.
Now let's also talk about this Eastern Borosi property, because as you mentioned, you guys are reinvesting a lot of capital down at this area, and this sounds like it could be one, again, of a near-term add to that hub-and-spoke model. How many drills do you have going down there? What is the strategy at this Eastern Borosi property?
Yeah, so as everyone knows, or as some of your audience may know, Eastern Borosi was a project that we originally, as Calibre, prior to acquiring these producing assets, we had an earn-in JV with IAM Gold. And IAM Gold had spent $11 million and drilled, you know, an average of 3 to 7,000 meters a year since 2014. We put out our first resource estimate in 2018. And, you know, at 700,000 ounces, which is the current inferred resource between underground and open pit deposits at 4.9 grams per ton gold, the size of the project itself, you couldn't justify building a mill. But now, as Calibre, operator Calibre, with surplus capacity at the Libertad facility, here's an opportunity for us to continue to de-bottleneck or de-orphan deposits that would have not been able to stand alone, right? And so as we step back and look at this, there's actually some higher grade structures or veins within that overall resource, known as Riscos de Oro and Guapinol. And between those two, roughly 500,000 ounces at about 8 grams per ton gold, albeit at the inferred category. So now what we've been doing is, after a fulsome technical and geological review, we've got 6 rigs operating there doing infill drilling at those deposits to be able to increase that level of confidence in those deposits, bring it up to an indicated category or potentially a reserve category by the end of the year, be able to have a mine plan around it, and then, you know, start working through the permitting process in 2022 to potentially be able to be in a position to have mill feed from Eastern Borosi within the next 2 years or so, if all goes well. So yeah, no, we're making some good progress there. And again, it could be the highest grade, lowest cost ounces feeding into the Libertad facility based on what we see today.
Ryan, can you just quickly remind everybody how this Eastern Borosi project came into the company as well, please?
Of course. We acquired the remaining percentage back from IAM Gold in 2020, which kicked off this review. So we own the Eastern Borosi project 100% now. And that's really what's driving this, is not only the opportunity to debottleneck, but because we own it 100% now.
Makes sense that you guys have so many drills allocated to that area then. And who knows, within 2 years, could be another spoke to that hub and spoke model. Another highlight from that news release, and we had talked about some of the increases in the resources that the company holds, but it's outlined very well in the news release that it's a 200% increase in mineral reserves from the tail end, or from the end of 2019. Now, mineral reserves stand at 864,000 ounces. Ryan, take us through how this continues to also be a key pillar for the company to add ounces, add these de-risk ounces as you guys continue to mine.
When we acquired these assets, it was a very low resource base. And actually, these types of deposits, known as low sulfidation epithermal vein systems, you generally don't have a significant reserve in front of you. You'll get yourself to an indicated category once you have a high level of confidence to be able to put a mine plan around it. But historically, there hadn't been a huge amount of drilling on these deposits. I mean, these were core assets for B2 Gold back in 2009 and 10, which helped spawn B2 Gold that we know today, which is a multi-billion dollar company. By the time we acquired them in 2019, they were a small portion of their overall portfolio, which represented the opportunity. And we were able to structure the right win-win deal for both B2 Gold and Calibre in such that we could devote 100% of our human capital and 100% of our financial resources to help unlock more value within these assets and make sure that we continue to to reinvest for sustainability of these operations. And that was the opportunity. In 2020, we saw great potential for converting lower category resources, inferred in some cases, and some cases indicated, to reserve category to reestablish the assets again as reliable, that people could have confidence in the predictability of A, annual production and costs. So that put us in a good position to have a nice platform for our further growth in our hub and spoke strategy. And today, yeah, we've got a little over 860,000 ounces of reserves, a very strong indicated and inferred resource base. So we'll be doing more work this year of infill drilling to, again, increase confidence. But this year, we've really transitioned to do a multi-rig, well, it's over 15 now, drill rig program to expand resources. And I keep coming back to this, but a large portion of, and the reason is because that's some of the key value drivers for resource investors is finding new, discovering new areas. We can do all of this self-funded. You know, we've got $58 million in cash. We've got no debt. We're reinvesting significantly quarter over quarter for growth because we've got over 1 million tons of surplus capacity at Libertad. And now we've demonstrated that we can transport ores around the country and do that accretively and make very good margins. So allowing us to reinvest in some of these new exploration opportunities. So now that we've got a good base, it's about expansion of that base, having confidence in what we're doing over the next 4, 5, 6 years because of that reserve base that we did establish in 2020.
Yeah, that's such a key development too, is that you guys really are showing that this hub and spoke model is working, and now you are shipping ore across the country and showing that to be accretive for the company. Ryan, just summarize for our listeners and investors then some of the near-term catalysts that they should have their eye on, simply because there's so much going on with the company here. But in the near term, in the next quarter or two, what should investors be watching for?
Yeah, so for me, as an investor in these types of companies, I mean, for me, I'm bullish on the commodity. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But that aside, what investors would want to look for is in Calibre, it's the continued exploration news releases. You know, we've got one planned for in the next 10 days within our Limon complex, where we have the operating mine. We've been having 3 or 4 rigs operating there for the last little while. So we'll have some exploration results coming out from Limon. Equally so, within the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, we'll have something coming out from Libertad. You know, it would be Pavón and Libertad. And then probably before the end of the quarter, we'll have an update on drilling at our Eastern Borosi project. So, you know, my anticipation is, you know, that would be lower risk drilling at Eastern Borosi because a lot of that will be infill and increasing confidence of. And so, you know, my hope is that we could hit some good widths and some very high grades as we've done in the past that, you know, these, this one particular project called Guapinol, which we're modeling as an open pit now. So lots of exploration results coming out over the next while. You know, it's consistent execution that's going to be key, you know, as we reestablish the assets. And but for me, what I'm really excited about is the work we're doing with Rio Tinto. Recall that we brought Rio Tinto into the country. They had never been in Nicaragua before. We brought them in as an earn-in joint venture partner. And, you know, I can't speak for Rio, but I imagine, you know, a company of Rio's size are looking for potential to find large-scale deposits, Rio-size deposits. And the geological setting there in the Borosi district, not to be confused with Eastern Borosi. So Eastern Borosi, we own 100%. The Borosi district, Rio is earning into that 700 square kilometer land package that hosts these large bulk tonnage copper and copper gold type systems. We've found these copper gold systems in the past. They haven't got big enough. And sometimes in some of those leaner years through the early post 2011, 2012, not as much capital to be able to reinvest back into the business as an exploration company back then. But now we've got this opportunity with Rio here justifying and validating the geology for these porphyry systems. And so we're drilling right now. It's a small program, 5,500 meter program. But after a year of analyzing all the data, they've prioritized five targets, one of which is called Carpatos, which is a multi-kilometer long copper and copper moly anomaly. And so very excited to see what could come out of that, giving us exposure not only to gold production, a revenue company, and all the exploration that could come from that, but also now some exposure to copper with our partner Rio Tinto.
Very interesting, Ryan. Thank you for this update. Again, I will post the link to that kind of Q1 overview news release. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Ryan, again, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon.
Look forward to it, Corey. Thanks, guys. Stay well.